This weekend was brilliant, and it was brilliant for two reasons. A, all the games were competitive until the very end. Obviously, the Patriot-Charger game wasn't great.
Right.
And we touched on this a little bit earlier, but the best thing that also happened is there is no top story that questions the integrity of the sport.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to happen a lot in the NFL these days, where the thing that the national audience is talking about is some kind of bad call that calls into question the integrity of the game. It doesn't mean everything was flawless. Were there a couple of calls throughout these weekends of games where you could say, hey, that was a personal foul, or that was this or that was that? Sure, it's never going to be perfect. But you walked away talking about the actual football. You walked away saying, that was great, that was entertaining, debating the legacies of Josh Allen and Justin Herbert and how good are the Patriots and coaching. But you aren't talking about the officials. And that's a victory, and I think that, to me, is almost the pseudo-headline of how great Wild Card Weekend was.
Right.
It's actually about football.
But I also think it still feels also kind of wide open. It's hard to say, like, this team is going to be the – it used to be Kansas City Chiefs, they're winning the Super Bowl.
Right.
And if they don't, at least they're getting there. I can't say that about any of these games.
I agree.
I have zero idea.
We clinched officially two new teams in the Super Bowl yesterday.
Yes, exactly.
And how often,
which is awesome.
And how often do we, A, get that, or B, officially get that after Wild Card Weekend? Usually there's at least one team, Kansas City, who takes it all the way to the championship game. We are sitting here on January 12th with an entire divisional round and championship weekend in which we know for sure we're getting a new Super Bowl. And I agree with you, Tiki, and I remember bringing this up back in October to you, or November. This is the most wide open the NFL has felt maybe in two decades. And that's not an overstatement, because we just had two dynasties, the Kansas City Chief dynasty and the New England Patriot dynasty. And as long as they were around, even if they didn't get there, even if they didn't win, things felt like it wasn't wide open. But now, of course it's wide open.
And if it's that wide open, who's to say the Jets next year aren't the Commanders last year with Dante Moore?
All right, calm yourself down. Now you took it a little too far.
But I mean, honestly, though, he's joking with you to troll you a little bit, but... If you are one of those teams that's been struggling, why not believe that?
No, this is the year that should point you to that.
The Bears stunk a year ago.
The Patriots sucked last year.
Exactly.
I know why you're saying it. I'm just going to feed right into what you want me to say. If anything, it's a reminder that the Giants can be here next year. Like, if you're a Giant fan.
Yeah, because you have the quarterback, you have some good
and
pieces,
the new coach, which there are so many examples of. Ben Johnson in Chicago, Mike Vrabel in New England, where, hey, just get the right coach in and everything can turn immediately. And I think the Bears and specifically the Patriots are such a great example of that. So if that's what you wanted me to say, Sean, you got it. If you're a Giant fan, you should watch this and say, this can be us.
Not to mention Mike McDonald's only in his second year.
You're right.
Yeah.
As a Jet fan, I watch this, and you know what I say? We're a million miles away.
Okay.
Thanks for that.
Again, you could say I was trolling Jets.
I can see why he feels that way. What's here that you're building on?
I'm just saying, you have the second overall pick. What if you pick? Look at all these young quarterbacks that are winning games.
But they're still going to be a rookie.
That's why I specifically brought up Jaden Daniels last year.
Okay.
Because that started this.
Yes, but Caleb Williams, second year.
Yeah.
Drake May,
all right, so you know what?
Second year.
You're 2 years away. After you fire Glenn and the rookie establishes themselves.
We're going to be fair to you, Evan.
Yeah.
2027.
That's what I'm saying.
You'll get Clint Kubiak in 2 years.
Yes.
And then you're off and running.
That's much more reasonable. They're going to draft a quarterback. It's going to be a disaster this year. Glenn is gone. They'll hire a new coach. And in 2027, we are primed to turn things around. I do want to commend, before we get to your phone calls, the winner of Twitter and information from the weekend that was in football. And if I gave you 100 guesses, you wouldn't get it.
No.
And this is a football-related tweet that I think was the most interesting thing I learned over the weekend. And the person I want to give love to is John Heyman.
Huh.
John Heyman. Are you aware of the Shaq Thompson fact?
No.
So Shaq Thompson, obviously linebacker of the Buffalo Bills, had an interception early in the game.
Yes.
And before that, spent many years with the Carolina Panthers. He is a 8 or 9 year NFL veteran. Shaq Thompson played baseball. And back in 2012, was an 18th round draft pick by the Boston Red Sox.
Okay.
That's all interesting enough. But I gotta take it to another level. He played 1 year of minor league baseball. Okay? 1 year. Shaq was a center fielder. Good athlete, played center field. He played 1 year of minor league baseball as an 18-year-old in the Red Sox organization and had 39 at-bats. He has singly the most impressive major league or minor league baseball stat line I have ever seen. I have never seen anything like this. Are you ready? Let's hear it. Shaq Thompson in 39 at-bats went 0 for 39 with 37 strikeouts.
I guess there's a reason he didn't stick with baseball.
Dude.
Sounds like Giancarlo off a rehab stint.
Tim Tebow did better than that. Michael Jordan did better than that.
I mean, clearly he was also playing football.
I don't care if you're also a ballerina dancer.
Yeah, but think
for 39 with 37 strikeouts.
But think about how physically jacked up you are if you're a football player.
Bro.
And how tight your muscles are. Like, there's no way you have a fluid baseball swing. What did he play, catcher?
No, he was a center fielder.
Center fielder, so he's athlete.
Dude, 0 for 39 with 37 strikeouts?
It's almost impossible.
That's my point. It's the most impressive stat line I've ever seen. So now, as the Buffalo Bills go on their playoff run, whenever I see Shaq Thompson, I'm going to think to myself, I'm a better hitter than him. Because I almost think if I had 39 at-bats in the Gulf Coast League, I think I'd be able to make contact more than twice.
Not anymore.
Am I correct? Well, not anymore. I got a bad back. I could barely walk.
You're telling me like a 22-year-old Evan Roberts, I think, has a better minor league career. Yeah.
I think you'd have a better minor league career.
My bat speed slowed down in high school, but you're probably right.
Now, that's not to say that Shaq Thompson didn't play a mean center field. I mean, maybe he made diving catches.
Maybe Stearns would have loved his run prevention.
Maybe.
I needed to find an image of him.
As a baseball player?
What do you look like as a baseball player?
I have just ruined the image of Buffalo Bills football for a lot of people for the next few weeks. Like, anytime Shaq Thompson is mentioned, now you're going to think about 0 for 39 with 37 strikeouts.
Oh, if he drops an interception next week, just go swing a bat again.
I just can't believe how bad this is. Because John Heyman tweeted it like, hey, Shaq Thompson, you know, he played minor league baseball and was really bad. So, of course, what I did is I went on Baseball Reference.
Of course, you had to look.
0 for 39 with 37 strikeouts. He did walk 8 times. So, in fairness, there were 8 different examples in which he was able to get on base. Let's go to Matt in Bayshore. What's up, Matt?
Hey, guys. Great show, as always. Happy to be able to follow you guys to midday.
Appreciate it.
Couple things. I do appreciate the little troll of the Buffalo Bills there with your baseball statistics about a guy who had an interception from the defense yesterday. But I am a very relieved Buffalo Bills fan. The defense did bail them out yesterday a little at the end of the game there. And having said that, Josh Allen cannot have a mistake-filled game like he did yesterday. If you can indulge me on a separate point, I tried to get a hold of you guys last week. I have an idea kicking around my head about how to combat tanking in the NFL.
Okay, let's
see. And I think it kind of translates across all the major sports, honestly. And I will acknowledge that this is a far cry from happening because it would require a commissioner who would do something unprecedented. My idea is this. What if you took, say, the bottom 3 teams of the league and instill some sort of financial relegation? In other words, a radically diminished percentage of the shared money. I think that would go a long way at hitting these owners in the pockets. It might even compel certain owners in baseball to reinvest into their teams on the field if there is a financial incentive to do so.
The reason I don't like it is because I don't want fans fighting amongst themselves about the priorities of ownership. Is it money or a better draft pick? Like, I think what you have to do is just no longer stick having the worst record with having the number one pick. You have to change that, because as long as that remains the same, many fans, and I totally get why, at the end of seasons, are going to say we're better off losing so we can get the better pick.
Right. It has to get into a fan mind that losing or winning at the end of the game doesn't matter to something that's happening 5 months from that moment.
Yeah.
And I think the stability of the NFL and what we were just talking about, let's call it the parity of the NFL, is because any team feels like they're on equal playing level with any other team. And so how you manage that is up to you. You can get creative, like Howie Roseman, who gets a ton of credit for the creative cap management that he does, re-sign his players and bring in free agents. Like, that's individual to a team. But I think as a whole, all 32 teams feel like in any given year, we can find a way to compete.
Yeah.
That's not necessarily the case in Major League Baseball.
Couple of thoughts on Buffalo. I feel more committed today than I did 3 days ago that this is the Bills' year and they're going to the Super Bowl despite a lot of the challenges they're going to facing. And the latest is Gabe Davis being out.
Right.
And Josh Allen is kind of losing his targets, if you will. But one thing that's going to have to change next week in Denver is this Jacksonville game was the irremovable force versus the irresistible object. James Cook had an unbelievable year running the football this year versus the number one run defense. And he got shut down.
Yep.
I mean, the Jaguars did a great job. They're going from playing the number one run defense to the number two run defense.
Right.
So I don't know how much you're getting out of Cook
right. and
next team weekend
the,
in Denver.
And the team with the most sacks in the NFL.
Yeah. I mean, you're facing another elite-level defense.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of this is just the vibe thing. This is his year. Like, he's conquered the demons, and at least he did it in the regular season, which I know he's done before, and not having to face Patrick Mahomes and Joe Burrow in the postseason. But having to do it on the road, which is now official, like, they will not host a home playoff game. That was possible if the Chargers went on a run.
Good, close that dump.
It just feels like this is the kind of year that they go on the run and get to a Super Bowl. And I stand by it. I feel more convicted about it today than I did 3 days ago.
I mean, I guess so. But, again, it still feels so wide open to me. It's so hard for them, their path. They're going to have to go through it.
Dude, it's wide open. I mean, I think the point spread for this game against Denver is basically a pick 'em.
Yeah.
I think maybe they're actually laying a point and a half.
They are. They're favored.
But either way, I mean, Vegas is showing you what you're saying, and I still agree it's wide open. I just think if I had to pick the team that's coming out of the AFC, and I don't say it with a smile on my face as a bitter Jet fan, I think it's them. But unfortunately, Jet fans, we're in a really tough spot because think about who's remaining. We got two teams from our division and Aaron Rodgers.
So I didn't even think of the Jet person because when you got done talking about it being so wide open 15 minutes ago, I looked down. I was like, man, as a Giant fan, I don't care who wins at all.
Yeah.
Now the Eagles are out.
Yeah, right. You're in a great spot because your division's been wiped out completely. I've got two teams from my division and Aaron Rodgers, which is why, you know, the Texans going to the Super Bowl would make me very happy.
True, because you don't care.
Yeah, I'd be like, whatever.
You know what? F the Texans. Hope they lose big time tonight.
Yeah, because I see what because you want me and Jet fans to be in pain.
Is that what you think?
Yes.
How selfish of you, Evan.
Bro, if the Steelers win today, I want you to keep this in mind. If the Steelers win today, 75% of the remaining AFC teams cause pain to Jet fans.
Okay. How about this one to throw back at you? You know what the Texan run does? It just gives juice to all the Astro fans that have already laughed in all the Yankee fans' faces.
I don't care.
All the Astro fans are Texan fans. The Houston thing. I don't want the Astro fans happy. They're Texan fans.
Oh, you mean not relative to the Giants?
No, but now relative to the Yankees?
Yeah.
F the Texans.
I mean, come on. That's really the stretch you're making.
That can't be the reason you're
anti-Texas.
They've
already won their championships in baseball. They don't deserve a football one.
Tiki, I'll explain.
The Yankees have won their championships, and the Giants have theirs.
It's very dusty now, Tiki.
What Sean is doing is he hates the Jets, and he knows that Aaron Rodgers having success causes anger to Jet fans, and he knows that either the Patriots, the Bills, or the Steelers being in the Super Bowl.
I thought you were over
it. I'm over it, but I don't want to see him go to a Super Bowl. Hmm. I mean, those things can all be
true,
right?
He's already gone to one before.
Yeah, but it's in the post-Jet world. I don't want him going to a Super Bowl in the post-Jet world.
You know what?
Sam Darnold bothers me less than Aaron Rodgers going to a Super Bowl.
How long ago was Brett Favre here?
2008.
So 17 years ago?
Yeah.
15 years from now, Jet fans aren't going to remember Aaron Rodgers was a Jet.
No, you're dead wrong about that.
Just trust me.
I would trust you.
They're not going to remember.
You don't think we're going to remember him jogging out there with the American flag and tearing his Achilles 3 years into his career?
Not gonna
three
remember.
Plays into his career?
Not going to remember.
You're very wrong.
And if he doesn't, that means you've hired terrible coaches over the next 15 years.
Well, okay, that's a nice little variation. If the Jets went on and had great success, it will probably make it a little bit easier. But I don't think anything will delete that part of Jets history. It's going to last forever. Nico's in Brooklyn. Hey, Nico.
Hey, guys. Good afternoon. Hope all is well.
What's up, man?
I'm pretty good, man. Just a quick question to the both of you, because I really want to hear what your thoughts and opinion are on it. It's regarding Justin Herbert and whether or not would you consider him a smidge overrated or are the Chargers kind of wasting his prime by not putting, like, a good supporting cast around him. And the reason why I'm saying this, on TV, the dude doesn't look like he has a big frame. Yeah. And the amount of hits he's taking, I don't know, like, how he's going to, you know, be able to bounce back up after so many hits like that.
Yeah, look, he is a bigger kid. I know he looks small on TV, but he's a big kid. And you do worry a little bit about the hits that he's taken, but not nearly like you did the narrative around Jackson Dart, because he's not reckless with when he does run the football. The thing I'd worry about with Justin Herbert is, who's the great player that's playing with him? I mean, seriously, who is the Hall of Famer that's playing with Justin Herbert on offense? And you're going to be hard pressed to find one.
Yeah, the shell of Keenan Allen.
Keenan Allen, but he's 34?
No, that's not the shell of him.
He's also not playing at that level anymore. He's in his mid 30s.
Right, and he started the season fantastic. But he's 34, so guess what happens? Attrition, it starts to affect you a little bit better.
I think that, and you tell me, because you watched the tape, this is my impression on Sunday night's game with Justin Herbert. And I am in no business of making excuses for him because Justin Herbert has come up small in every big opportunity he's been given, including last night. Last night specifically felt like a no-chance game. It felt like his offensive line was abysmal. Yeah. It felt like his receivers were never open. And it felt like, not that I'm exonerating him, but a lot of last night was on everyone else too.
Right.
He was in a no-chance situation. And maybe that's a credit to New England and a credit to what they were dialing up against him.
They had a better plan.
But it felt like he had no shot last
night. Evan, I showed it to you. It's just I looked at what Justin Herbert was looking at. I'm like, why did he not get rid of this ball? Because that's what Sean said when he first came in, and we talked about this game last night, was, man, it felt like none of his wide receivers are open. It felt like there was nowhere, especially in the second half, after the halftime adjustments. It felt like there was nowhere for Justin Herbert to go with the football. That's because the Patriots' defense was so confusing. It looked like one thing, and as soon as the ball snapped, it's something like diametrically different.
Right.
When you have a cover four shell look, and then at the snap of the ball, it's cover zero. It's like, what do I do? And they have good man coverage players. The Patriots do. Christian Gonzalez is one of the best.
Who is in concussion protocol.
Right. And so all of those players played at a heightened level, and they knew they had a X's and O advantage over the Chargers, and it showed. And so, in that case, you need someone who can win. You need a Jamar Chase or a Justin. You need someone who is just, I'm throwing you the ball even though you're covered, and I know you're going to go get it.
Right.
Justin Herbert doesn't have that.
Now, with all that said, Justin Herbert in the big spot is atrocious. So I ain't exonerating him. He's got a lot to prove, and I think the pressure's only going to build year after year after year, especially when you have regular season success, and then you show up in the postseason, and it's a disaster.
Has he won a playoff
game? No, he's 0-3. Now, all three games have been on the road.
But it doesn't matter.
But one of those games, he had a 27-0 lead, right?
He did enough offensively versus Jacksonville. Well, I shouldn't say that. I learned my lesson with Russell Wilson in Dallas. He did enough in theory. The defense blew it, and then he couldn't make a play late in that
game. Right. But ultimately, that's Andy Dalton.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton was a really good regular season quarterback.
Great comp.
Got to the postseason and could never win.
And that is going to continue to build and build. Mm-hmm. All things aren't created equal. Like, Josh Allen hasn't won the big one. But in fairness to Josh Allen, I've never walked away from any of his postseason losses and said, boy, that's really on him.
Yeah, that's his fault.
It didn't feel that
way. And he's also an MVP. And he's been close in a couple of the years besides the one that he won.
Lamar Jackson was more in the middle. Like, there were some postseason games in which you walk away and say, hey, that wasn't the Lamar Jackson MVP player. In the case of Justin Herbert, he just hasn't. He hasn't given it to you. It's been three playoff games, and they've been all disasters.
Now, this guy ended up with two playoff wins, I believe, but I feel like it's a lot of Romo Cowboys in the Chargers. These great regular seasons, electrifying plays from the quarterback.
I feel like Romo's failures were, like, epic, though. It wasn't just kind of...
like, just no ho-hum, like they always just were, like, the pressure was on and it was a mistake.
But you know what else the Chargers need to do? And it's much easier said than done, because this was their opportunity. They got to win a division. Because when you win a division, at least you get a home playoff game.
Yeah, but that doesn't... I mean...
he hasn't had one yet.
I know, but that doesn't matter in Los Angeles for them.
Well, yeah, he'll never play a home
honestly,
playoff game.
Honestly, they won't.
You're
they
right.
Don't have a fan. They don't. When I say that, I'm not saying it flippantly. They don't have a fan base.
I agree. It's not the same as the Packers having a home playoff game, or even the Texans having a home playoff game. But it would help, because wouldn't you rather be at home without a home field advantage than having to go to freaking Foxborough?
Oh, without a doubt.
So no, it's not even that I'm going to have some super advantage. It's that it's better than having to do that. That's not an easy place to play.
No, you're right.
And that made me sick last night. Like, the Patriots deserve, no offense to their fans, many of them are good people, you deserve 30 years of miserable football. The fact that it took you 5 minutes to get back, host a playoff game, have an electric atmosphere. Like, dude, you just had a dynasty.
I know.
Like, look at the Bull fans. They're getting what they deserve. They have a dynasty, and they've gone 26 years in which, yeah, they've had some good teams, but they haven't gotten nearly as close to what they were. The freaking Patriots are back.
Yeah.
They could win a Super Bowl this year.
Singing Living on a Prayer together. The arrogance was totally just filled.
Awful, right, man. Let's go to Darren in Tallahassee. Hey, Darren.
Hey, Evan. 2 points. Tiki, you and Spider Lockhart are my favorite Giants.
Oh, I appreciate
it. Evan, you made a mistake. You said irremovable force versus the irresistible
yes,
object.
Yes.
It's an immovable force versus irresistible object.
Here's the problem. I have quoted that Gorilla Monsoon line my entire life, and for whatever reason, since I've used it to refer to the Bills' run game against the Jacksonville run defense, I've screwed it up every time. It's like a new mental block I'm dealing with. Let's go to Mike and Nyack. Hey, Mike.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? One thing for Tiki. Tiki, on the Buffalo, the last drive of the Jacksonville.
Yeah.
Were you surprised that at 4:10 they got the ball at the 14-yard line, Jacksonville, and they threw it right into the end zone? Shouldn't they have killed that clock? They got eight plays to run right there.
Yeah, I did.
And you're gonna,
it surprised
you're
me
gonna
a little
tell
bit.
Me, yeah, you're going to tell me you're going to leave almost 4 minutes on the clock for Buffalo and they're not going to score?
Yeah. It reminded me. It's not the same, but there are certain moments where, like, trying to score aren't as important as running the clock, and they were just on the edge of it. If it would have been 3-something, I would have said absolutely. The score is not important as running this clock down and preserving your lead and being less aggressive. So the challenge is they didn't make the plays when they needed to. And the Buffalo Bills did.
Here's the challenge. When you get the ball back with a minute to go and all you need is a field goal to force overtime.
Yeah.
And you happen to have a kicker with as much range as anyone in the league, you can't throw an interception on your first play.
Right.
That's a fail. Like, I know if I'm a Jaguar fan, there'd be a lot of things I'd be kind of living through. You know, the failed go for it early in the game we talked about earlier when they got the gift from the gods of an extra possession because Ray Davis turned the ball over on a kick return. Yeah, sure, I'd be living through that. But what I'd really be living through is you have the number one overall pick from a few years ago. You've got your franchise quarterback and you're down by 3 with a minute to go and a kicker who can make one from 68. You have got to be set up to, at the bare minimum, force overtime.
Yes.
And you didn't do it. And so that would be the thing that I would take with me this entire offseason. Trevor Lawrence had a wonderful season. But with the chips down and the game on the line with a minute to go, and all I need is 30 to 40 yards, I don't need to go I'd like to go the length of the field. It means I win. But at the bare minimum, I could set up a game-tying field goal.
You know,
it took one freaking play.
You know what's interesting about it? It's because I think in Jacksonville, this is a massive overachievement. No one thought they were this good going into the season. They have some talent, obviously, from Hines Allen as a pass rusher, and Travis Etienne had a fantastic season. Who was the Raider that they got? The wide receiver.
Oh, Jacoby Myers?
Jacoby Myers. He changed their offense, by the way.
They didn't even have Travis Hunter get hurt.
I know. Exactly. And you know, Campanile, who was the defensive coordinator, turned a bunch of average collective players into this one of the top defenses in football. So this was a massive overachievement. So we on the outside are looking at them and we're lamenting their missed opportunities. Internally, this is probably like, that's a hell of a start.
It is a hell of a start, but I will remind you of an adage I have for all the teams I root for, and I would apply it to any team in sports. You never know when you're going to get back.
True.
And I have been humbled by that a million times, whether it's the 24 Mets or it's the Kevin Durant Nets or it's the Jets being in back-to-back title games. And I would kindly say that to a Jacksonville Jaguar fan. Like, Trevor Lawrence could tear his ACL week one. And I'm not rooting for that, obviously. I want him to be healthy. I'm not rooting for injuries. I'm just reminding you that sports is unforgiving.
Yeah.
So when you have an opportunity like a home game, in a game that you could have won, that you should have won, you got to take advantage of it. Because if you don't take advantage of it, you don't know when you're going to be back. I said that to Giant fans after you guys got spanked by the Eagles a few years ago. It was a great year, right? What a wonderful year. Who thought if I told you in September we'd be in the second round? All that beautiful stuff. You got spanked and you haven't been close since, mm-hmm. which is why when you get close, you got to take advantage of the opportunity. Speaking of close, how close are the Mets to actually signing Kyle Tucker?